Well, you heard it there from Jaylen Brown. The flexing will continue until any team can present a challenge to the Boston Celtics. Milwaukee Bucks last night, I had that game circled. It's an early one here against a team that I think is going to come out looking for blood this year. So far, they've come out with a hiccup, really. I mean, they're 1-3 to start the year with losses to the Brooklyn Nets. And pretty good game they played for three quarters yesterday. Then at the end of the third, Celtics go on an 18-2 run. Peyton Pritchard starts raining threes. He really started that in the first quarter, and it went on all throughout the game. But that was the difference. Celtics win. Celtics are undefeated. I'm looking at the schedule. Any thoughts on what the first loss might be for this team? Like, I mean, I'm not to be that kind of fan, but I look at the schedule. I thought maybe Milwaukee would give them something. Detroit gave them a little bit of a scare. That was not an easy win over a bad Detroit Pistons team. They're on a road trip starting tomorrow. Indiana, Charlotte, Atlanta.
Wait, go back. They play Charlotte twice in Charlotte?
Yes.
What the hell is that?
I don't know. It's a home and home, but they're both in
away.
They're
away
both
and away.
It's an away away.
What the? It's back. It's a Friday, Saturday. It's like a. Is that normal?
No.
I don't feel like I've ever seen that.
No, they've had. It's happened before. Last year, I think they had two games against Atlanta, I want to say, that were back-to-back, like, the day
That's
after
weird.
Each other. It's
Didn't
not
they, like, lose both of them, or they lost the second one, and the first one was close?
Something
I remember
like
it was
that.
In Atlanta, right.
Either last year or the year before now. I can't remember, but it's not. It's rare, but it's not super rare. Like, I've seen it before.
I'll tell you when it isn't, especially for people like you.
Mm-hmm.
It is not Wednesday, November 6th. It's the Golden State Warriors.
Golden State Warriors.
Watch.
Or that's going to be the one game where they, you know, it's the superstars that got in their head. Now
well,
they go out there
be.
And try and do too much and they lose the game. I mean, that could happen.
It could be a game where Jason Tatum wants to prove something. Maybe he's not shooting well. He still tries to prove something and it takes the whole team kind of out of its normal
could
offensive
happen.
Flow.
Jaylen Brown may want to prove something. They both may want to prove something. Maybe they're fighting over who gets to prove what, you know, that kind of thing. But I doubt it. I think they'll probably win that game. I think they're going to beat Indiana tomorrow night. They're going to win both Charlotte games because Charlotte blows. Atlanta blows. Brooklyn blows. They got them after that. They have the Bucks again on November 10th. You know, like maybe that's one you could look at. The only game, though, that really I'm sort of looking at now with any kind of real fear in my eyes, it's coming up now. November 19th at home against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, why the Cleveland Cavaliers? Because they're undefeated, too. They're the only other undefeated team in the East. The only other undefeated team in the league, I think, is Oklahoma City. So there you go. And listen, I don't think the Cavaliers are necessarily going to be some world-beating team this year. But as good of a start as the Celtics are off to, 4-0 to start the year, Cavaliers have a better point differential than you. How about that? That's a little strange, isn't it? Wouldn't you think? Like, the Celtics are number one in everything. They're steamrolling over all these teams.
Yeah,
they're the best team in the league. Cavs have a slightly better point. They've gotten off to a better start than the Celtics.
Yeah, the Celtics are fine.
They're
Celtics,
definitely fine.
If they wanted to play Tatum in the fourth quarter of like the first couple of games, they could have increased the differential there.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they had hit any threes when they were going for the record,
right.
They would have changed their point.
Probably, but they didn't. And listen, Cleveland has played Toronto, Detroit, Washington, and the Knicks. So they have one good team on their docket. They haven't played another one. They got the Lakers and the Magic coming up next, so that's probably going to be the end of their streak. But they are off to a good start. Just worth pointing out here, the Cleveland Cavaliers did not do a lot in the offseason to try and match the Celtics. They mm-hmm. just didn't. They re-signed their own guys, re-signed Mitchell, re-signed Mobley, re-signed Jared Allen, and kept that group together, which is a good core, I think. Two bigs and a scoring dynamo like that in Mitchell, I think that's a good base to sort of build off of, but they didn't really build anything. They're just kind of keeping that all together. The Cavaliers, I mean, listen, that might be another team or one of the only other teams that you really look at in the Eastern Conference and say, yeah, they might give the Celtics a series. They might be a spoiler. They could be a problem for them. But other than that, I don't really see much. I don't even know when I see a loss on the schedule.
Yeah, my Pacers are not playing all that well. I think they're 1-4, 1-3, 1-4. We did have a texter that said, Indiana always plays us tough. Speaking of Indiana, real quick, since we brought it up, December 27th and 29th, Celtics-Pacers at mm-hmm. the Garden both nights. So apparently these back-to-backs in the same city are more common than I realized.
Yeah, I suppose. It's
I don't care for them.
Whole
I don't
thing
really get
now.
It.
I don't really get it either, but yeah, there you go.
Although
anyway,
it doesn't bother me in baseball. They call it a series.
That's true. The Celtics looking unstoppable. The Bucks are good. I think they're a good team. They're not some crap roster. I don't know whatever you think about Doc Rivers. I loved watching him basically fall to his knees last night as Peyton Pritchard was bombing threes from all over the place. Are you afraid of any? Is there a team you're afraid? Oh, am I boring you, Andy? Is there a team you're afraid of?
I was watching another horror movie that.
Oh, really?
Rich Keefe left on. At some point, a rabbit, which looks stuffed, just got shot, but blood flew out of it. So I guess it wasn't really a stuffed rabbit.
I think that's the Forever Purge.
The Forever Purge?
What the hell does that mean?
Yeah. So it's the Purge, but it's the one that's called the Forever Purge.
Like
so,
forever.
No, bunny. No. F-O-R.
Wait, there was a bunny in it. So I thought legit it was forever.
Oh, great.
Oh, okay.
So wait, the Purge, one day a year you can go out and do whatever you want, right?
Yes.
So Forever Purge means you can do that forever?
I'm not sure the premise of the movie.
It's not really a purge anymore, now it's just anarchy, right?
This might be like the fifth one or the sixth one. I'm not sure. But
Okay. Well, anyway.
I'm watching Freddy in here.
Why are all the... Oh.
Because it's Halloween.
Two nights.
I wasn't really thinking. My bad.
That's okay. And it's a nightmare. I mean, really, like the Celtics are kind of the Jason or the Michael Myers of the NBA right now, I would
say.
Damn
right.
Like, you know,
I wouldn't.
They're killing people in their dreams and stuff, you know?
I don't, other than Cleveland, which I think you have to circle, but you also need to remember there's a long time between now and that game.
True.
Like, we may look, now, to be fair to Cleveland, as you said, they're ahead of you in the point differential. They are undefeated. Like, you got to give them their respect. They could have a 3-game losing streak somewhere in there, and we're not treating them the exact same way.
And they're more likely to have that happen than the Celtics are. I think that's 100% true.
Oh, I think there's a legit chance the Celtics don't have a losing streak this year. Unless injuries really barrage
that
this
could
team.
Happen. Yeah.
You know, of the things I'm projecting in my head, go for 74 wins. Oh, go for undefeated at home. I find it hard to believe this team's going to lose back-to-back games. I haven't really scanned the schedule for the biggest combo, challenge of back-to-back games, but I don't think there's going to be too many opportunities for this team to lose back-to-back.
I agree. By the way, I know it's early. I know we're 4 games into the season, but the Eastern Conference kind of sucks. Eastern Conference right now, if you look at it, it's 4 games in, I know. There's only 3 teams with a plus point differential in the whole conference. The Cavs, the Celtics, and Orlando, and that's it. Everybody else is a minus, and that's kind of remarkable. I mean, we're not talking about an entire conference of teams that are with losing records either. This is pretty unusual. There's only like a handful of teams in the West with a losing point differential, with a negative point differential. In the East, there's only 3 with a positive. Now, that's obviously going to change as the course of the season goes on here, but Philly's off to a bad start. The Bucks are off to a bad start. The Knicks are off to a bad start. I'm not really sure that anyone's going to challenge this team this year. I'm not sure that anybody is going to strike any kind of fear in themselves.
You are overreactionary.
I don't think I am. The Bruins will
never win again, and the Celtics will never lose again. Christian Arcand, after games.
Is that a crazy take with these Celtics right now? Yes, Brian.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like at the beginning of the year, and certainly last year, we talked about Denver as a team, right? When
right.
you get to the finals or something. That team's, it's, again, early.
They're off to a crap start.
Horrible start. Their only win was last night. Jokic had to drop 40 to beat Toronto in overtime. Jokic is calling out teammates saying, we're not a good shooting team except for Mike and Jamal, talking about Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray. Like, they're already taking shots at each other. The season just started. It feels like they've gotten worse since they won the championship. They've lost Bruce Brown. They've lost Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Like, it feels like there really is nobody, unless like a team like Phoenix reaches their potential. Maybe Oklahoma City, if they're finally there, but they still feel too young. Like
Phoenix, they're both off to good starts, both of those teams.
Nobody. Who I look at and I think, like, they match up well, or defensively, that they can guard Tatum and Brown without giving up. Like, there's nobody.
Yeah. Minnesota, we'll see what they look
cocky
like.
Cocky 4 games into the season. I was
cocky in the offseason. I mean, like, come on.
I mean,
let's be honest here. There's no reason not to be if you're a Celtics fan.
And that does happen when you are. We talked about this. You're not only the defending champion, but you're the defending champion in your prime, kept your team together, young stars. Nobody's getting old. Like, there's just a lot of factors that go into the dynasty talk here, and they are legitimate.
Yep.
You know, I'm sure opposing fans don't want to, like, acknowledge them, but they are legitimate factors and makeup of what the Boston Celtics are right now. Also, I'm fixating way too much on this, so it's going to annoy you. But so Charlotte, to balance out the 2 games in Charlotte, they end the season with 2 games against Charlotte in Boston, April 11th and 13th.
Oh, thank God.
That's weird.
It is weird.
I don't care for it. Do they should go back to the old lady who does the schedule, not like computers. See what happens when you let computers do things?
I didn't know that the old lady used to die.
I think there used to be an old lady that used to do it. Maybe that was the NFL. She might have lived on Nantucket.
Really?
Yeah, I could be blending a few different stories
There once was a lady
together.
From Nantucket.
Yes, who did the NFL schedule and said,
And I think that goes a different way, but that's okay. Anyway, yeah, your Boston Celtics 4-0 with a easy win. I mean, I know that it was the first three quarters, but by the end of the third, they cruised in that fourth quarter, and it was another easy one for your Boston Celtics, knocking off the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll see them again in action. Their next game coming up here is against the Pacers in Indy tomorrow night, the first of a four-game road trip that has the two games against the Hornets that Andy's obsessed with, and then the Atlanta Hawks. And then the day after the election, you're going to have a new president. Well, we're not going to know, I don't think, on that Wednesday, just thinking ahead here. I'm not sure it's all going to be decided on Wednesday the 6th. But what will be decided is Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown going up against the Golden State Warriors and Steve Kerr, who in some ways, I think you can point to Steve Kerr if they win it all this year and have another crazy season and they set records and all of that. You can thank Steve Kerr a little
bit. I'm
not
doing
that. I think you can thank him a little bit.
I'm not giving him the credit. I'm not giving him the...
I'm not going to give him all the credit, but I'm going to give him a little bit of it.
Screw him.
Why?
I don't like him.
Why not?
He's like a kind of a sanctimonious dink.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. So I don't want him to feel like, yeah, you're welcome, Boston. I helped you win a title. Happy to help anytime I can.
Well,
blah,
if it's
like,
at his expense, then I think it's fine.
Oh, if you beat him in the finals?
Well, no. I mean, if the Warriors don't have a good season and you beat him in the regular season or whatever it
no.
is.
No, because then he'll do that, and I don't want him taking any pleasure. You're giving him power that he doesn't deserve. No, there's no reality to that. If they win the title,
there
you know
is
why?
Reality to it. He did bench Tatum, and he didn't bring Brown on the team.
Yeah,
I mean,
we don't know
really
that's
happened.
Why they win the title.
Well, no,
they might win the
that.
Title because they're the best team with good young stars, and Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge put together a hell of a basketball club.
If Steve Kerr hadn't benched them, I think they'd still be the favorites to win the title.
That's what I mean.
Right. I think they probably
there's
would be.
There's nothing more overrated than this Olympic right. thing. It's so overrated.
But if they
didn't become more talented because they got
no,
benched.
No, more motivated. They've both been very motivated. That's how they got to where they are.
You don't think that motivated them at all?
No.
I think you're wrong about that.
No.
I think you're wrong about that.
But is Jaylen Brown holding his breath for 3 minutes and 15 seconds underwater now? Because Steve Kerr, I'll prove to him. I'll drown down here before I come up early.
I don't think it has anything to do with his underwater workouts, but I do think in terms of the games and everything else, is a motivating factor. Yes, it is. I can't believe you're saying it
isn't. The flip, if I thought it carried any motivation, it wouldn't have anything to do with basketball. It would be workouts. It would be getting up at 5 a.m. to go in the pool with 25-pound dumbbells, even though I don't really want to.
Okay, fine. So that the work they put in the offseason,
yes.
maybe they go a little harder because of the snub from Steve Kerr.
I think they work pretty hard.
I think those guys look for stuff like that. I think they seek out stuff like that to motivate them. This isn't unusual. Patriots did this all the time. How often did Rodney Harrison come out and talk about no one gave us a chance when they were the best team in the world? That motivation, that's real. I think that's definitely real. I'm surprised to hear you say this.
I think he won because he was a Hall of Fame safety and Brady was a Hall of Fame quarterback and the receivers were Hall of Fame. Like,
sure they were.
They were really talented.
But did they not derive motivation from other things?
No,
I mean, you don't think that happens?
I'm sure they did, but those guys, I think, are motivated just inherently. Like, I think that's why they're great on some level. And I don't know that you can get more juice out of the squeeze. Like, there's only so much juice in that great player. And I think there's a lot of juice in Jaylen Brown, his company named Juice
or
whatever.
Or Seven Ooze, if
which
you
I still don't really. Yeah, that kind of is weird to me. It's a Seven Ooze.
Seven Ooze.
Seven Ooze.
Rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it?
I think these guys are really motivated. Has anyone ever? Well, I guess some people have questioned Tatum at times.
Definitely.
Not really. They've questioned.
I've questioned Tatum at times.
But they've questioned, and you've questioned, I'm sure, I know I've questioned, his alpha dog leadership.
Yes.
Not necessarily his work ethic.
No, but his leadership, his scoring at the end of games, you know, the straying away from the big moments and the big shots and stuff like that, not being a clutch player, things like that. I mean, that's all been part
of it.
So
you think he's
going
to take more big shots now because Steve Kerr didn't play
him? Not necessarily, but I do think that they're not going to... I think in general this season is going to be a very intense season. I don't think that they're going to practice a lot of load management. I don't think they're going to take a lot of nights off. I don't think they're going to take their foot off the gas when they have a big lead on a team. I don't see that happening this year. Maybe it has nothing to do with Steve Kerr, but I think it's naive to assume that neither Jaylen Brown nor Jason Tatum wants to get him back for that. I think they both absolutely do.
I think they want to get him back, but you know what I think they want to do more? Win back-to-back titles. I think maybe set records and win MVPs and do those things. These things that we're talking about, do you think there's no chance that they think about them? Because I think they think about them.
They absolutely think about all that stuff.
They realize, even Grandy's final call was something about the only way to beat the rafters that look down upon you and the great players is to join them with a title. Well, you talked about it. Could this be the greatest Celtics team ever? Could this be the greatest run ever? Like, if you start doing that, That puts you in the rarest of air anywhere. You're doing it in Boston for the Celtics, expanding the lead on the Lakers, the banners, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they want that more than they want to say, Steve Kerr, you should have played Tatum more.
Right.
You should have brought me there with
but
you.
But winning, doing all that is sends that same message, doesn't it? Right? Like, you should. How could you not play me? Look at this. We're the
but
best team in the league again.
He already doesn't think you're good.
I know.
Because he didn't bring you with him.
It's about the public
perception. So is he
going
to change his mind?
I don't think it's about changing his mind.
Yeah, screw Steve Kerr.
I don't think it has anything
He's
to do with changing
his mind. He's not worth your time, effort, or energy.
I think it's about responding to a perceived slight, and I think that that happens in sports all the time.
Ah, no, I do agree that that happens. I mean, your Patriots example is legit. When they embarrassed the safety on the Steelers, when they embarrassed Freddie Mitchell,
right.
when they went out of their way to embarrass people, but you know who I think that actually was more than any of the players?
Belichick?
Belichick. I think he, when people talk, it pisses
was,
him off.
07 with the Spygate thing. I mean, he was they were on a mission that year for sure.
Absolutely.
And they lost in the end,
but I
mean,
I'm talking about
people out.
The guys that popped off.
Yeah.
That's part of why he controlled his players, because it made him so angry and he did more when others popped off. He knew how much it motivated him, and that's why he didn't want his players motivating another coach in that way.
Yeah.
And I think, like, the devil you know kind of thing, like, he knew he's a devil, and I think he was the one who motivated more. And Mazzulla, I wouldn't put that past him. Mazzulla might be more angry than those guys, because he's in that crazy competitor world.
Oh, yeah. He's crazy, might be the most competitive guy in the whole building. Honestly,
yes.
Joe Mazzulla. He's insane.
I mean, I've never seen a coach close out before, so that's all I have to say.
It's true. That was a first. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your phone calls right after Brian Frazoco tells you what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Boston Celtics beat the Milwaukee Bucks with a 119-108 win at the TD Garden. Celtics got 28 points from Peyton Pritchard. They got 30 from Jaylen Brown. Peyton Pritchard spoke about his buzzer-beating three-pointer from last night.
Elliot.
Man, I just like live for those moments. The clock winding down, and I think it was like 6 seconds left. So just to get to a spot and raise, and you know, I kind of black out in those moments and just let it fly. And obviously, it works out a lot of the times for me.
Sounds like Andy Hart weighed in on it as well. Celtics will be in Indiana tomorrow night to take on the Pacers. Tip-off is at 7 o'clock. In other basketball news, according to Sham Sharania, the cast for Season 2 of Netflix's NBA documentary series Starting Five. It will include Kevin Durant, James Harden, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Tyrese Halliburton, and the Celtics' own Jaylen Brown. Boston Bruins return to the ice tonight as they host the Philadelphia Flyers. Puck drop is at 7 o'clock. No Jeremy Swayman for the Bees tonight as Jonas Corposalo will be in net. Patriots were off today. They'll be back to practice tomorrow. They take on the Tennessee Titans. This Sunday at 1 o'clock, that game will be at Gillette Stadium. Big news in the NFL today as it was announced, Texans star receiver Stephon Diggs tore his ACL during their Sunday's win over the Indianapolis Colts, meaning his season is over. Colts have benched quarterback Anthony Richardson in favor of Joe Flacco, and the Baltimore Ravens traded for Carolina Panthers receiver Deontay Johnson. Game 4 of the World Series is tonight, with the Dodgers holding a 3-0 series lead after last night's 4-2 win. First pitch from the Bronx will be at 8:08. I'm Brian Frazoco. That is what's trending on WEI and on WEI.com.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hard on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
As if he's got a free release and he's getting into the route. But based on what he was doing, I think he just had a mental error there, not helping his left tackle.
Flag is down. Return by Austin. Plenty of room. Great return. Still rolling. Flag is down. Austin into the end zone. Touchdown.
Monday Night Football last night. A nice punt return there from the Pittsburgh Steelers, who were leading that AFC South division with a record of 6-2, one of the better teams now in the AFC, which I was not expecting coming into this season. I thought it was going to be all about Baltimore, all about Cincinnati and Burrow being back. I thought Pittsburgh would hang around, you know, their winning season, maybe like 9-8, something like that, and it could still happen, I guess. But they're off to a great start. They've done it with two different quarterbacks, neither one of whom is particularly great, but Russell Wilson's looking a lot better. And that was an interesting week. I think that was an interesting week all around, week 8 in the NFL, as we have some time here to just kind of recap it a little bit. And I think that, in general, first of all, that game last night, you got a New York Giants team that's pretty much flailing. They're pointing fingers at each other. They got issues. Slayton had a nice game. Neighbors had a decent game. Other than that, I think you're looking at a New York team that's really got no answers. They got Daniel Jones locked up long term. That's a problem with a couple of teams now. You look at Jacksonville, long term quarterback contract, tons of money, crippling in some ways for a team trying to rebuild. And that's sort of, not that I think the Patriots have to worry about this anytime soon, but even if Drake May ends up being really good, if this team continues along and can't surround him with any talent and can't get that going, I feel like, well, you're going to have to go back to the well and start over again. And how are you going to do that if you're giving out a big fifth-year option, major max contract to Drake May? It just doesn't seem like, you know, that's what you do when you have a quarterback on a rookie contract. And I worry that this is going to be a problem for this team if they waste his rookie contract years with a crappy roster.
Yeah, I mean, that's a concern. I always believe you don't regret the contract, you regret the person that you gave it to.
Right.
If you give the big contract to the right person, I don't think it ever matters. I mean, the Chiefs gave $500 million to,
right,
to Mahomes, and now they're like, ah, we'll take care of him, and we'll keep bumping it up because he's so underpaid. Like, if it's the right guy, you're fine. You will figure it out around him. It's when it's the wrong guy. And we all knew Daniel Jones was the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all knew it. Deep down, they probably knew it. They probably held their nose when they gave that contract.
Sure, but no one thought Trevor Lawrence was the wrong guy.
No.
People thought Trevor Lawrence was going to be the blue-chip best prospect coming out of college since Peyton Manning.
But he hasn't been that in the NFL.
No, he hasn't. That's true.
How long can you live off of your draft profile before you go, you've been in the NFL for a long time. Mm-hmm. When are you going to look special? When are you going to lift your team and do what you're supposed to be doing?
His second year was a good year. They made the playoffs. Yeah. They won a playoff game. That's probably when they made the decision. All right, we're going to get this
guy.
They
did right after they won the playoff game.
His contract. And so then they do it. And then the year goes by. He falls off a little bit. This year, one of the worst teams in the league. The Packers just had to do this with Jordan Love. They don't know if Jordan Love's going to be a franchise quarterback or not, and they had to pay him.
That was different because of the Aaron Rodgers delay.
Right.
You have Drake May on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have plenty of information, be it play, performance, leadership. Also, by the way, durability. 2.5 games here, 2.25 games here, a knee MRI, a head injury. Like, you're going to have plenty of material to work with, just like I think the Giants did. And they got backed into a corner and, in my opinion, made the wrong decision. But I don't, like, the contract's not bad. It's the player that's bad. And that's where we didn't mention the Giants earlier,
right,
when we did Bill Watch. Because that has always been one that lingers because of, remember the Bill versus Bill, and he's bawling his eyes out about how much they mean to him, and it's the special, the first one. But you said it. Does he want to go to a team in either Jacksonville or New York that the quarterback situation is that bad? Like, he can't afford to, Sean Payton goes to Denver, axes Russell Wilson, will take the cap hit. I'm going to be here for a while. I'm not 73. I have a couple years to establish my culture, whatever. Does Bill have that kind of time to deal with bad cap hits, dead money, quarterback transition? You bring in a young quarterback, even the good ones. Well, C.J. Stroud's a great one. But
right,
for the most part, it's, yeah, if we're lucky, year two, year three is when he's a playoff caliber quarterback. Well, Bill's done.
Yeah.
So I think that plays into that. But certainly the Giants, the thing I just always think about with the Giants, and I watch them, there were some nice play calls last night. There was early on, there was a fourth down. They threw it to Neighbors, where they ran a little pick thing. He motioned out of the backfield, and I was like, I kind of like that play. Brian Daboll, when you come to New England, can you bring that play with you to New England? That's all I ever see when I see Brian Daboll, is the next Patriots offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And I know this is disrespectful to Alex Van Pelt. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest. That's what I see when I watch Giants games.
Yeah, fair. I mean, I think that's a reasonable thing to have. I do still think that this, especially with this win here on Sunday, and I don't know if this makes a lot of sense, but I think at the very least, a two-win team, you know, beating the Jets, that sort of thing. We all talked about how that gives a little bit of a grace period here to someone like Gerard Mayo going forward. I think that a 2-15 season, maybe 3-14, is the bare minimum. You know, like that when you talk about him keeping his job, when you talk about the Kraft souring on him or any of the other stuff that was floating around here last week about where they are at right now with Gerard Mayo, I think another win, having that second win and having it before you get to the halfway point, at least has you on pace to match what Bill did last year, right? And that's sort of what I want to see. I mean, I think at this point, you know, just to have Mayo win four games – and say, yeah, Bill, you know, it's the same, a lot of the same guys. I know the run defense isn't as good as when you were here, but they won just as many games as you did. And look, you know, you got this young quarterback and they're on the way up, and sorry, Mike Lombardi, but, you know, it's not really any worse than it was the last year here with you guys and the big brain trust. And that's a reasonable expectation, I think, now at this point. And that's something that the Crafts care about.
Yes, they do care about that. And I also, just for Mayo's stability, just for the pressures that we're building on him, and I'll be honest, I'm rooting for him to pop off back towards them, but I think he smartly should wait it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one win at 2-6 isn't exactly time to start, you know, right, puffing your chest out and
flexing. If he gets a fifth win this year, which I don't think he's going to, but if he does somehow manage to
but even
score
that's
a fifth
tough
win.
Yeah, I got five wins.
Oh, no.
You don't
I
say
would
that.
Absolutely go to the podium and say five wins. Obviously, that's more than we had last year, so we feel like that's an improvement.
Yep.
And I would
I
just
promised
say it,
you at the beginning of the season yep. that we're going to improve from last year, and we did.
No reference to Bill, no anything
nothing.
Like that.
Exactly.
Just stick with the facts. It's more than last year. Nobody can dispute that. If you get five wins, it's more than this team had last year. We feel like we took a step in the direction. We did it with a rookie quarterback. Like, you can, however you want to, but he absolutely should take that victory lap because Bill Belichick earned that clap.
It's tough to really give him a lot on that and be like, oh, yeah, you got five wins. Like, great job,
yeah,
Mayo.
But other than that, how was the play, Ms. Lincoln?
No, five wins is more than four.
It is. And you know what? He can throw that a little bit in Bill's face, but I'm going to look at it and be like, dude, you got five wins. Like, I'm not going to throw a parade for you.
No one's talking about throwing a parade.
I'll be honest with you.
It's about this measuring contest
right.
going on between
yes.
the two of them.
And I wouldn't be able to stop myself. I think he'll stop himself because I think I would say, I got five wins. We feel like that's a step in the right direction. Obviously, with the way the roster was left and the rebuild we had to do this offseason, blah, 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 like, I would go down that road.
Andy would come out with a picture of Belichick and rip it like Sinead O'Connor did on SNL.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like,
100%. 100%. And I'm not...
Shave his head.
Coach Stacy, don't let him do that. I'm not advocating for you to do that, Gerard. It would be bad. But if you win five games, stick to the facts and say, we won five games. That's more than this team won last year. We feel like that's something special moving forward. We're trying to build something here. Stick to the facts. It is a fact. It's okay. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, it's hard for me to get all giddy about five wins.
No one's talking about getting giddy.
But not getting giddy.
Yeah.
It's hard for you to for me to back him. It's like, oh, yeah, Mayo, you got Bill. You got Bill by getting one extra win after he won four games last year. And sure, like, yes. It's.
Oh, if he really wanted to get Bill, he'd say, I got a job and I got five wins, so he could really go take a pot shot at him.
I'll give you the first one. I still have a job, Bill. I'm coaching in the NFL. I'm a head coach. You're
neener,
not.
Neener-nanner.
Five. You can't rub five wins in anybody's face. You just can't.
You can rub it in Bill's because he only won four.
You're yes, saying you rub. I'm saying stick to the facts.
Yep.
If you are in week 17, 18, whatever, and
you're going to want to spin it anyway. You're going to want to spin it positively right. if you won more games than last year, regardless
Absolutely.
Of one or 10
like
more
Like those
games,
old yeah. NFL films that they would make a 3-and-whatever season look good. And you're mm-hmm. like, oh, wow. I don't remember it feeling that good when I was watching it live, but they did a good job spinning it. Like, yeah, you're building momentum in your culture. So if you get to now, I don't think they're going to, but that's a separate, it was hypothetical.
We're talking about a very hypothetical thing here that's probably not going to happen. Speaking of hypothetical things, would you rather be right now the Dallas Cowboys or the Indianapolis Colts?
The Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys. I kind of agree. The Dallas Cowboys, though, are not in a good place right now. They lost to the 49ers, and then after the game, Trevon Diggs, who has had a tremendous fall off from that big season he had where he had a million interceptions, has been not great for them the last two seasons. And he got into it with Mike Leslie, who is a reporter out there for one of the TV stations in Dallas. I'll find out what it's actually called, and I should know this because I know Mike Leslie a little bit. Mike Leslie,
oh, Jesus, we're going down this road again.
Is the reason why I even work here at all. It's because he was one of the headline guys.
Dinner at my house once a week.
That's not true, but he was the headline guy with Metro, which did the sports flash for WEEI, and he moved on to Dallas, and there was an opening, and I took the opening, and I've been here ever since. So, well, not here.
Not
I've been
really.
Other places. But I started here. That's how
you
I got
can't
my
even
start
get your
here
own story
WEI.
Right.
That's basically true.
Been here ever since. You
been
weren't here for a
on
while.
The air in Boston, I bet, is what I meant by
I'm
that.
On the air in Boston.
On the air in Boston.
The
that's
major
how,
market.
That's how it started. Hey, you're on the air in Boston, too, dummy.
Barely.
Anyway, Mike Leslie, a WFAA in Dallas, was outside the locker room following the Cowboys' 30-24 loss to the 49ers, and during the game, there was a big completion. It was 10-6 in the third quarter, and the Niners were driving, and there was a big completion down the sideline. I want to say it was to Deebo Samuel, and that set up their touchdown in the third quarter that gave him a big lead there and gave him the lead back. So in that play, Diggs is playing man coverage on a different, maybe he was playing on Samuel, and then the ball goes to Kittle.
Kittle, yeah.
And Diggs is sort of running down, and he kind of pulls up a little bit, and the tweet that Mike Leslie, my good friend Mike Leslie, put out was, what is Trevon Diggs doing on this play? He didn't say Diggs was dogging it. He didn't say anything. He said, what's he doing on this play? The implication obviously being that he was dogging it. Anyways, after the game, the scrum comes out outside the locker room, and Diggs went after Leslie and sought him out. Listen to this.
Out of that whole play, that's what you took from that? You don't know football. You can't do nothing that I do. You can't go out there and do nothing. Stay in your lane, buddy. Stop playing me, bro.
Just asking a question, Trey.
All right, hold on. Just stop it for a second.
I mean, I'm happy that.
Stop it for a second. That's always when you know a guy's going through it. You can't go out there and do what I do. It's like, yeah, no kidding, Trevon.
No kidding, obviously.
We definitely can't go out there and do what you do.
Did he respond to it saying, yeah, I know I can't?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he said, yeah, I know I can't.
He's like, yeah, right, obviously.
Obviously. What else you got?
I'm a TV guy. I can't run a 40. Like, what are you talking about? You know when an athlete starts it out, you couldn't do what I do. It's like, all right, this guy's spiraling a little bit here. Anyway, go on.
Just asking a question, Trevon. I mean, I'm happy to have you answer the question.
Out of that whole play, that's what you took for that? That's what you got from that whole play, that's what you got from that?
I'm asking. We can talk about it more. What were you doing?
Nothing makes me smile like
that's a good clapback,
like a good D's Nuts joke. You know why? It's always funny. There's never a time where it's like a D's Nuts joke doesn't land. I feel like it's always funny.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you set them up.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Like
if
he had
set
them
up
that
a little better, it would have been priceless.
Yeah, it's like, hey Mike, would you like two CDs?
I got D's for you.
Was Diggs throwing like teammates under the bus though? That's one of my takeaways from that is he's like,
I didn't think so.
Did you miss everyone else who was screwing up? The one thing you took was that I was dogging it? Because he was absolutely dogging it. He was kind of like jogging like parallel to the play.
Yeah,
the
only thing I can think is that he was protecting a cutback lane, which, you know, guys do that sometimes. And he was two players away from Kittle running with the ball. So I could see him maybe trying to protect the other side of the field from that. But it did look like he pulled up a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, I absolutely thought he pulled up and was not aggressively attempting to make a tackle. But my interpretation of his comment was that he was saying, like, I was the least of our problems on that play.
Right.
I was like the third layer of catch-up coverage on that play. Other people were getting beat. That's why they had the ball and were running down the sideline. So get off my back. But he also didn't at him, right?
So this is
one of those where like it's
so
not
he
like
he found
went,
it. Yeah.
He found it.
He
or,
went out and found it.
Well, to be fair, there's a lot of troll dinks that love to send it to people.
And they'll
like,
tag for you.
Like,
right, exactly.
See what this guy said about you, Diggs. You're the greatest corner I've ever seen in a Cowboys uniform. Why don't you go get him, sick him? And the other issue here is, Diggs is a modern Otis Smith. He makes plays for both teams. He always has.
Yeah.
Even at his best, he would have a lot of interceptions, but also give up a lot of big plays, like yards allowed, things of that. He's not a shutdown corner. He's more of a big play in both directions kind of corner. But that's an example of they're spiraling. They're in trouble in Dallas. There's a lot going on there, on the field, in the locker room, in the owner's box. They even got hurt. See, the Jones family got hit. One of those things popped up before the car was already through and, like, screwed up a couple of the family members, I guess.
I did see that. Mike Leslie went on Twitter, said, I do not have a comment about these nuts. It's good.
That's a good comeback.
It's a good comeback.
And I can also not play in the NFL.
yes, that as well. Anyway, good all-around interaction, I thought.
You know what?
Funny from start to finish.
And we'll continue the funny with the texter from the 508 who says, I wish Mike Leslie never left. That's a good clap.
Hey, listen.
That was well played right there.
Take it up with him. There's nothing I can do about it. That was my ascension into the business was all because of Mike Leslie taking off for Dallas. And if he had never left, then we would have not gotten this great D's Nuts exchange.
Yes.
Which I think was, you know, worth it.
It's also
a
Rob Gronkowski classic, right? He was a big D's Nuts guy.
He was a big D's Nuts guy, absolutely, yeah. No question about it.
And the immature people like us will always laugh at that.
Yeah. Hey, you like Wendy's?
Not saying it. Nope.
Okay. Just asking. By the way, the Indianapolis Colts had to bench their quarterback. He's benched. Richardson officially benched. Joe Flacco is going to start this week. Here is what Richardson said when asked about why he came out of the game in the third quarter.
Man, tired. I ain't gonna lie. That was a lot of running right there that I did, and I don't think I was going to be able to go that next play. So I just, just told Sam I just needed a break right there.
I've never heard anything like that before.
No.
I've never heard a professional athlete say that before. Certainly not a quarterback.
Not a quarterback. The quarterback makes it different.
Yeah.
Because this is where there's a little bit of me that sides with them in a weird way. Running backs and wide receivers tap out all the time.
Exactly, right.
It's very common. Oh, I had a long run. Just tap and you go to the sideline. Somebody else comes in. But quarterbacks don't.
No.
Quarterback is the leader of the team. First of all, the backup quarterback isn't expecting you to tap out. The running backs know that they could go in at any time. The fifth wide receiver knows he could go in at any time. Joe Flacco is not expecting to go in at any time.
Right.
Until you get hurt, get up slow, something like that. This is one of those that, this is going to sound overly dramatic, and maybe he just stinks. That's the other thing. Maybe he just stinks. This feels like the end of his career as a franchise quarterback. Just this, like, you don't have the heart for it.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine him. Ross Tucker, an offensive lineman, is like, I've never seen anything like that. But Quentin Nelson, one of the baddest-ass guards on the planet.
What's up, Quentin?
Right. Can you imagine Anthony Richardson goes in the huddle and Quentin Nelson takes him seriously? Like, you tapped out. How are you my leader?
I know.
How are you my guy that's going to go down with the ship, or Trent Williams, or one of these badass veterans?
Because, like, you're the quarterback, so call a couple runs. Catch your breath. Just hand the ball off. Well,
fake an injury, as Micah Parsons
do
said.
Anything. That's unbelievable. That was
calf
an unbelievable
cramp.
Thing.
Oh, my calf. Roll around on the ground for a little bit. So they call I have no idea. But the last thing you can do is be seen as a quitter. No fight. Because he's got enough issues. As Ross said, how did he put it when he giggles inside his head reading his stat line?
Right.
Do you have giggles inside your head?
Sometimes.
I feel like that was a little insight into the craziness that might be Ross Tucker. Like, there's a little, we may need to delve into that in future interviews.
He has like a Joker voice telling him what to do.
A little bit. That kind of, I don't know if I liked it or it scared me a little bit that he has giggles inside his head. But his stats are one issue. But lots of guys have bad stats, overcome them, mistakes, interceptions. If you're labeled soft, Gerard Mayo, or a quitter, or a guy that isn't a leader of men at the quarterback,
to shake that.
It's toast.
Yeah.
And this might be the worst example. Think of Jimmy Garoppolo. I keep bringing that, but when they thought he was soft and injury prone, okay, you're not tough enough to play through this.
Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett is. Like, so we'll play Jacoby Brissett. But this isn't physically soft. This is mentally soft, right?
Yeah.
Motivationally, not able to push himself through. And I know football is changing, but it's still a hard-o world, a culture like that where you're not, the quarterback doesn't tap out. The only way the quarterback comes out is if the coach says get out, or they scrape him off the field and drag him off on a stretcher, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the mentality of the football world.
Generally, yeah. And there was no injury or anything like that. Just, no, I was running too
much. I don't think he's winning the MVP.
Got a little tired. Yeah, sorry, Chris Schein. This is going to very much hurt his MVP chances, I think. 617-779-7937. We'll come back and wrap things up next with Odds and Ends.
This is Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Odds and Ends are brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. WEEI Afternoons. Arcand and Hart, what do we got today on Odds and Ends, Andy?
Are you a fan of covers, musical covers?
Yes, big fan.
Okay.
As you can tell by the song that we have for this segment, I love covers.
Are you a fan of Sweet Caroline at Fenway Park?
I am not.
What if I told you, like a 30 for 30, there is an elite cover of Sweet Caroline that I think will make you love the song more than ever?
I would doubt it. But I would be open to listen. I would be open to hear it.
Roll it, Stizzard!
Let's hear it.
Reaching out, touching me, you got touching you.
It's Cartman.
1, 2, 3, 4, Sweet Caroline. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good times never seem so good. So good, you got.
Who is this? Eric Cartman. It's Cartman. All right, thank you. What's this from?
To hit count like I ever would.
It sounds like someone doing a Cartman impression.
I hate you.
Listen, don't be a hater.
I hate you, yeah.
This song proves
so, yes, this, while I was watching both football and baseball last night and the Celtics, I was playing on my phone, and I don't, you know how when you play a video on Instagram, once it finishes, it rolls another video?
Yes.
This, I stumbled upon this dude, and can you pronounce his name, Stiz? Do you have his name up on his Instagram page? Because it's Fernando something.
Oh, it's a guy doing an impression of Cartman. That's what I thought. It sounds like someone doing a Cartman impression.
He does
pretty
like
good.
Every song you can think of. He has hundreds of songs.
Fernando Ufret? Is this guy? Okay,
yeah.
I see you right here.
And some of them are like have 11 million views, 6 wow. million views. Most of them are in like the rock genre. They're right up Stiz's alley, like Weezer and all these weird, like, but they're like Enter Sandman from Metallica is one of them. They, my daughter watched me sit in the chair and just laugh for like 30 minutes last night. Cause I love Cartman. I don't know if you're a Cartman South Park guy.
I love
guy.
Cartman. Yeah.
He might be my favorite character of all time from anything, any movie, any TV show, anything. And I was just going through video after video of him doing these, and they are tremendous.
That's pretty good. Now, that's interesting that he does this, because Cartman, the character, has a whole bunch of songs that he sings on South Park. Like,
oh,
he
yeah.
did Heat of the Moment in the Stem Cell episode, Poker Face in the Whale episode.
The Poker Face one is
that
good.
That one's tremendous.
He's got the Elvis Christmas song, In the Ghetto.
Oh, yeah, right. Singing about Kenny.
In the Ghetto.
That one's a good one
yes.
for sure. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones, but yeah, he does a lot of those.
On Kyle's mom.
Come Sail Away. That one's a good one. That's not a cover of something. That's
nope,
like
that's
an original. But yes. Come Sail Away. Remember Come Sail Away?
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was a good one. There's a lot of them. Yeah. He sings a lot, and they're always, I think all songs are better when Eric Cartman sings them.
100%.
It's one
and
of
that's
those
why
situations.
The only thing I don't love about this guy's, repertoire, I guess, is it's mostly rock, and that's not, I'm more of like a country slash pop mm-hmm. music guy. I wish, Stiz is like, I should DM him and give him some requests of like pop music that I want him to sing.
That episode where Cartman starts the Catholic band and like,
oh my God,
subs out Jesus for Baby and all the love songs.
Is that the one?
That's one of the funniest yeah. episodes of that whole show.
And he tells, so and the funny. Bass player is
Token. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
And he tells him, Token, go in the basement and get yeah. your bass. He's like, I don't have one. And then you hear him go down the stairs. Yeah. And he goes, son of a.
He's like, we know okay, you know
now
how to play it.
He's like, no, I don't know how to play it. And then he just goes, boom, 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 boom. He's like, son of a.
Yep, that is a great episode.
Great.
Anyway,
there's a great documentary on HBO. I believe it's called A Week to Air, and it's all about how they produce, edit all in 1 week turnaround
right.
and get a show out. And then the other thing I wanted to say is that's really what you discovered, Andy. That is the beauty of the internet.
Yes.
That you can find some guy singing random cover songs as Cartman. Like, that is the beauty of the internet.
And for both of us, because I love Cartman, but he also is using something that in the old days, maybe he could go to a bar and like a few people would come in and throw a little cash and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, he does sing regular songs that we saw, and he's not bad.
Now he's reaching an audience of millions.
Way,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm guessing he's making money, right? I don't really know how.
Oh,
Instagram
yeah.
works.
If he's got millions of views on videos, he's
okay,
making
so,
a couple
like,
bucks.
That is the beauty of. So we crap all over social media and the internet often enough. This is like a, you know, feel-good story on the internet.
Yeah, definitely.
Assuming he's a good dude. I don't know. Maybe he's a creep.
Yeah, maybe. I guess we'll find out. It's what always happens with these internet people.
Yep.
All right, there you go. One more thing for Odds and Ends. New Aaron Hernandez episode tonight.
Tonight!
Have you seen the parodies?
No.
You haven't seen the parodies?
What do you mean, like,
you
parodies
seen the parodies?
These
nuts!
Ah!
Wait until the end of the show. Wait until the end of the show, and I
that
still
was well played.
Got you. Ha,
well
nice
played.
One. That's it. That's all
You're
the time we
dead.
Have here today. Oh, so
Payback
glad to go out on
bitch.
A high note like that.
Payback is a bitching hour.
KJ and Lions are coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Keep it right here on WEEI. We're back tomorrow at 2. We'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.